listening to the adventures of Lonnie, the Brotherhood of Steel Scribe, Clark, the veteran mercenary, Pat, the gearhead racer, Hazel, the traveling scholar, and Buck, the patriotic vault dweller. This is Rat Rolls, a Fallout tabletop RPG. Join us now for a live performance at Sweet Chariot Burlesque Club, put on by our lovable constituency.
All right, guys, I'm gonna go out there. I'll do the little introduction. I'll do my bit, and then I'm gonna leave it up to you all as to what. I mean, are you sure? I mean, everybody was a little sick before. Are we sure that we're okay? That we're
Snick,
all good?
You head out there. You introduce us. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Is there a name? Like, now I feel like Jolly Pirate and the Five Horn Dogs is a little misleading if we're just gonna throw a belly dancer out the stage. Do we need a good name, you know? Ooh. These show business acts, we need like really
call
good
her
name.
The Marvelous Miss Hazel.
That sounds great. I don't know why. That sounds
right. I feel like it works.
That's funny also because this season of Marvelous Miss Maisel is about a burlesque club and I've been watching
exactly.
That. yeah, that's great.
All right.
So Snick walks out on the stage and he says, introducing the marvelous Miss Hazel.
I go, guys, let's leave now. He's on the stage. He can't find us. Let's go.
Hear me out. Leave now. Here's the plan. We're either going to do so great that we can then demand to talk to the owner about payment because that's who we're here to talk to. Or we're going to stink up the place and they'll drag us in front of the owner so he can kill us or, you know, maybe just fire us or yell at us. Either way, we need to get in front of the owner.
This is a gun. It has no musical
ability. Surprisingly.
All right. Hold on. Okay. So Hazel stops. She does like a little, like does like a little sun salutation with her. She ties up her shirt, like underneath. She double ties it so she has a bare midriff, and takes off her actual like leather coat and goes, all right. She puts on the pirate hat and says, well, it's either this or give them a lecture about existentialism. So let's go.
All right. So I kind of get the picture of what Hazel is doing, unless you want to add some color to that.
Well, she also kicked off her shoe. We got a barefooted. As it turns out, my backstory for her is she did quite a lot of knife juggling and belly dancing when she was younger. Because she was in a troupe where that's, you know, that was paying the bills, as well as, you know, doing the rounds on lectures of existentialism. So she can. However, she's not exactly in tip-top shape right now. Plus, I have the suspicion most of these patrons are seeing pole dancers and not smart. So she's not sure how it's going to go.
Also, they're used to seeing ghouls, so this will be different.
It'll be different, but some of them may have a very taste towards. They came here to see a ghoul dressed as a rad scorpion. I don't know if they're going to be okay with a skin dressed as a. So be prepared for flying fruit. At least then we'll have some dinner, right?
What are the other three of you doing?
Peppa's going to go out on stage with his upright bass. And he's going to stand there as if he's playing the bass, but he's just going to kind of awkwardly drum on it to give a beat.
Cool.
So that's his plan.
That's good.
Buck's gonna like go on stage, but if there's a stool, he's going to put the stool next to him in case he can't, like, in case the motion that he's about to do will make him sick. But he's just kind of going to do like a half step dance, like da 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 da, is like moving his feet a little and keeping his shoulders straight, like the weirdest dance you've ever seen. Like not even a full half step, just like a quarter step, like kick out shuffle. Like imagine if a Rockette was drunk and also a guy.
Now that's stuck in my head. Thank you.
He's gonna do his gosh darn American best.
I don't know what to do with this trumpet, but I've seen in the Brotherhood, like, when they're, you know, like, the call to order in the morning or whatever, and they're playing, like,
Reveille? Really?
Reveille or something like that. Like, stand at attention in the back, just, like, all stiff with this trumpet. And maybe if the rhythm gets to me, I'll do, like, step, toe, touch, or something, just side to side.
I'm going to have the group do a few rolls based on this, and I'm actually going to start with Alani. If you could do a charisma plus energy weapons, difficulty one.
Weird, but okay. My charisma is 4. My energy weapons is also 4 and is a tag skill.
Because you're utilizing an energy weapon as a way to...
Yep. So I rolled a 12 and a 6. That is enough for a success.
You're back there. You start tapping toes, and then all of a sudden, you remember that when you were at the orphanage, some people, some like goodwill people came through and handed out everybody horns. And you remember a particular song, and you start to play Hot Cross Buns on the trumpet. And people around are like, huh, okay. So you are currently playing Hot Cross Buns. Yours is fun. I'm going to do charisma plus athletics. Difficulty 1.
I got 2 9s.
Is that no success?
I think that's 7. That's not a success.
Okay. Right, so Lonnie is playing Hot Cross Buns, and you are kind of like there's a belly dance happening, but it's more like that you have like put your arms in the air, and you are like kind of like jutting out a little bit, and then you get pretty dramatic about it and kind of like kick your head back a little bit, of like you think you're really in the zone, but a lot of people
like vertigo.
It's the Elaine dance.
Yeah.
It's hard to look sexy when Hot Cross Buns is being played poorly on the trumpet.
And some would argue it's the perfect song to look sexy when listening to Hot Cross Buns.
Yeah. Pep, if you could please do charisma plus melee weapons, difficulty 3.
Okay, that's charisma 5, melee weapons 3, 16 and an 8. So I... Wait, melee 3. Wait. So charisma is 5.
Charisma.
Melee is 3. So is.
So you get one success, right? One success. And so that's a fail because it's difficulty
3. Oh, damn it.
Okay, I will come back to you. Buck, please do a. You're doing a little dance on a stool, right? You're kicking out your feet, being really.
I'm kicking my feet up, but I have like one hand on the stool to keep me from falling over.
Okay, yeah. Please do charisma plus athletics, difficulty 3 as well.
12 and... Oh, a 3.
You got one success. Okay. So Lonnie is playing Hot Cross Buns and is amazed by the look on his face. It just like this like memory is like filling his head, and he feels like that he's like a part of this culture in New Orleans, and he's playing for his Brotherhood of Steel members out in the crowd, and just feels like really in place. Meanwhile, Hazel actually trips over her foot and lands a little bit on stage. Buck and Pep, you do not notice this, but Pep, you have started to like hit the side of your bass like kind of rhythmically along with the Hot Cross Buns, so it's, you know, yeah. And at this, Buck is still doing his little dance, but on command, while Buck is sitting on a stool and Pep is playing his bass, you feel a pain rise up through you and enter your throat, and acid spews out of your mouth as little smokies go flying over the floor. And then Buck does the same as well. And Lonnie does not notice this. He's just playing.
Oh, thank God.
Lonnie's in the zone.
And, at this point, people are amazed and in astonishment at what is going on with this show. And Snick kind of runs out on the stage and he says, thanks for that grand finale, folks. We're what was our name? We're the Aristocrats. the lights in the club turn on as a ghoul enters the room with a routine of pinstripe suit-clad ghouls. The main ghoul is dressed in a shiny golden coat. The main ghoul is also wearing a top hat adorned with crocodile teeth and a plethora of feathers that kind of jut up towards the sky. He walks with a cane and in the same hand has this like cigar that peeks out. He sits in the middle of a large red velvet booth and puts his cane to the side. He takes a drag of his cigar, tips his hat to Lonnie, waiting for the grand finale.
Hazel's going to get off her rear end and stand back up and go back at it. At the very least doing, all right, this is probably going to end badly, but she's going to start doing the finishing spin.
You know what? I've got an idea. He's looking for a finale. I'm going to play to my strengths. I am going to try to hold the last note as long as I can. So basically just an endurance test. Now, I'm hoping that you'll give me a little bit of a bonus on here, because Aqua Boy says that I can hold my breath for twice as long as normal, which means that I should have the expanded lung capacity to at least make this pretty impressive note hold.
Yeah, I'm going to say endurance plus energy weapons difficulty 1 for you. And what was Hazel doing?
I'm doing basically the end move, which is essentially spinning in a circle while whipping my hair around, essentially.
Okay, are you sure you want to do that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
All right, let's see.
She's very frustrated. She wants to finish big.
Okay, let's do, for you, let's do agility plus athletics difficulty 3.
Can I use one of our inspiration?
Our action points?
Our action points, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much we have in the pool, but sure.
I think you all have 6 in the pool, but I think that you used 1 in the last session. But mm-hmm. This is also my brain, and my brain is a little funny.
Okay.
Okay.
I rolled poorly. I rolled 15 and 17, so I'd like to use a luck point to re-roll one of those d20s.
That sounds great.
All right, and I'm agility plus athletic. 2 2s and a 1!
Holy crap.
Oh, wow.
Thank goodness.
I think I just wasted them.
So, Lonnie gets up and starts blowing his trumpet. Hot Cross Buns like is doing his little song, and then he has that last note, which just ends on buns. And he holds out the note, but then normally he would be like really with it, and he was like so in the zone, but loses his breath, and the trumpet stops, and then it's kind of quiet, and then he farts a little bit.
Big finish, everybody.
But meanwhile, Hazel does this big twirl. Describe to me this twirl and what you do, Hazel.
Okay, so she raises one of her knees up and puts her leg back down at an angle and basically spins herself. She starts sort of going, doing it, and she whips her head around 3 times. Her hair is loose because she doesn't have any throwing knives holding it back up anymore, but she does that, and then she goes around the circle, and then she basically sort of sinks into the ground as she's still spinning, and it's a very, very impressive finish.
And you managed to avoid all of the puke.
And I managed to avoid all of the puke on the ground around me.
Which is why that difficulty test was higher.
Because I could have slipped in it. Yes. Mm-hmm. I could have spewed again. There's all sorts of things that could have gone bad there. I was absolutely in for it.
Our adventures continue after this short break.
At this point, you hear this one, just like one ghoul kind of like clapping to himself. The ghoul looks at you all and says,
"Let's get everybody up here for a bow."
Yeah, all right.
And I'm like looking around and the smell starting to hit me. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, Hazel might need some help standing up because she put everything she had into that last flourish. So she's spent. She's done.
Right. So you all approach the stage and the ghoul stands up and hits his cane against the ground and says,
"Everybody but those four, out."
And these people in the pinstripe suits with the needles, the ghouls, start escorting the Brotherhood of Steel initiates out. So now the bar is empty, but you all sitting at the front of the stage, the ghoul in the golden coat, and probably 10 pinstripe suit wearing ghouls across the bar. You notice that they all have Tommy guns as well, which is kind of a strange deal. The ghoul sits down again, takes a big drag of a cigar, and says,
"Now, tell me, how in the world did a Brotherhood of Steel scribe, a car junkie from bumfuck nowhere,
how do you say it? Chautauqua? Is that how you say it?
Chautauqua. You just say a traveling nerd.
A traveling nerd. And a radicalized vault dweller end up on my turf?"
You met Snick?
I don't care about Snick.
Snick, you asked him, that's the answer to your question. That's how we ended up here.
I'm getting a little testy with all of this.
Sir.
Changing of my words.
Sir. You're the owner of the Sweet Chariot, correct?
What gave you that impression?
You are a dapper, dapper gent. And I think only the dapperest gent in this whole area could be the owner of the Sweet Chariot. And we need to talk to you about something. Pepper leans over to Lonnie. What did we have to talk to him about again?
Ella, it's complicated.
It's complicated, sir. But if we could all just sit down, you know, maybe just drink some more water. I vomited, sir, and that's not a fun feeling. If we could all just sit down with some water, we could kind of talk this out, because we have some very important issues to talk to you about, right? Important issues. Very important issues.
Yeah, important. Yeah.
Well, nothing was more important than that godsend of a show you just put on for my burlesque joint.
Thank you.
It was borderline acceptable. And normally Snick brings in a good group, but my intelligence tells me you're not really here for performance, so why don't we talk casually?
Sounds good, right? That's good. Let's all just put our Tommy guns away and sit down with some water. I mentioned water. Can I get some water?
I know you can't get some water.
Understood.
We'll get some water after we talk.
Okay, sounds good.
How about some breath mints? Oh, breath mints, awesome. Maybe?
So, you're familiar with Ella Fitzgibbons, right?
I'm very familiar with Ella, yes.
Good type of familiar.
Oh, Lonnie, you're quite the funny one. My people didn't tell me that you were a man of jokes.
He is a card, let me tell you, sir. He's the funny guy. I love him. He's great. It's hilarious.
Yeah, so, you didn't answer my question.
Yeah, Lonnie.
You lived in New Orleans your whole life, right?
Yeah.
Well, right now, you're sitting in the middle of the Voodoo Lair. And we are the Voodoos. And the Voos do what the preservationists don't. But this preservationist bullshit of all this communist talk, that's not what NOLA was built on. It was built on handshakes and talent. And that's what we have here.
So you know, Lonnie, that the voodoos are like the criminal underworld for
NOLA. Yeah. So they're probably not down with the preservationists. And they're probably at odds with Brotherhood of Steel if I had to put some... I don't know.
The politics
are complicated.
The politics are complicated. I would say that you know them as opportunists. Like, they are looking... Like, before all of the... Because it wasn't all this, like, gold coin communist stuff before. It was run on caps like any normal city. And so they are opportunists. They're not necessarily... They're kind of, like, morally gray, I would say.
Okay. Do I see coins on his person?
Yes, you do. You see 4 golden coins on his...
He's a jacket. He's a quad. Okay. Got it. So... Ella recommended that we speak with you about a job. Now, she has something she wants done. Surprise, surprise. Everybody has something they want done.
Tell me, what has she asked you all?
I don't believe she would be okay with us sharing that information at the time. I'm so sorry.
I know she's been, trying to get into Vault 18 for a long time, so I suspect that's something to do with you all, probably.
You said it, not us. So let's say, hypothetically, we are trying to get in there. Your connection to the Vault was made quite clear, and we have the fringe benefit of being able to get ourselves a water purifier chip. If we are to make our way down there and do whatever errand it is that she's asked us to do. And that is why we are reaching out. We're kind of stonewalled without the assistance of a purveyor of knowledge such as yourself.
So you've been running around my city drunk for 24 hours. Do you even remember my connection of what I had to Vault 18?
I believe your dearly departed wife was the overseer.
Yes, I do, and I don't want to... I was trying to be sensitive about it, but...
The belly dancer has it right. Listen, here's the skinny. I'm going to level with you all. I'm a generous person. I loved Maggie. But her work, me and Maggie, I mean, you think I know anything about her work? We always kept it separate. Spend our moments together away from our business. She was the overseer. I managed a lot of the extra stuff that was going on in the vault, but when we were together, we didn't really talk.
Separate the home life from the business life, eh?
We never really, really talked. It's been so long. I could probably remember some details. If you all would maybe help jog my memory a bit.
What would help jog your memory?
Are you familiar with the Council of New Orleans, this new fangled thing that they've all put together for this communist regime that they have?
Ella went into a few details.
Well, a bunch of us are chairs. I sit on it with her. But above that, above the council of representatives from this city that we've always been a part of, almost like a town council that you would know from an old world, there's somebody above that. Somebody that actually is pulling all the strings behind that. So me, as somebody who's a councilman, I only happen to know about this person because I joined the council. And this was after I got out of the vault. And the only one who knows who the leader of this is Ella. And she refuses to tell me. The only thing she's told me is that there is the king of the carnival. And the king of the carnival is the true leader of all knowledge. And apparently, they've been here since the war. They didn't go in a vault. They stayed here. This is a big revelation, I know. But I'm gonna need you to figure out this mystery for me. Because if I know this, things will start changing in New Orleans. Things will start changing for my business, and I can start changing things for you all. I need the Mardi Gras parade manifest from 2076. There's this, as I've said, an invisible, unassailable person of power that's not like the rest of us. And he was the king of the carnival. Now, the carnival crew is one of the largest and oldest parade float shows in New Orleans. And you see, this king of the carnival is the wizard behind it all, pulling the strings like a little Wizard of Oz situation. Rumor is that he's just a regular person like us walking around the city of New Orleans. But this carnival manifest, you see, you know the Museum of History here in New Orleans? They have a warehouse for it. And it's not exactly the most legal thing to go breaking into warehouses to find this this manifest. But if I know the name of the person who's the king of the carnival, I can do something here in New Orleans. I can do something fantastic and change this city back into what it once was. So
you mean you want to bring capitalism back to this godforsaken hellhole?
This vault dweller I knew would get it. That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
So I have a few questions, and like you said, this is a bit of a revelation.
You probably are so unaware of the machinations of this city, even though you've lived here for years and years. And let me tell you, I can be your gateway to this grand world.
This almost seems mythical that someone had survived since 2076, not in a vault, walks among us, theoretically a 5-coin individual leading, like, what? And has maintained their anonymity for this long.
The only thing I know is that they were the king of the carnival in 2076. And they were running New Orleans while we were down in Vault 18. They were running it.
You don't think Ella's lying to you? You think this is legit?
I have my sources, Lonnie. What do these men look like behind me? Do they look like people that maybe are using listening ears when they're going into the city figuring out a bunch of stuff?
They look like very smart individuals, and I'm sure they're up to date with all of their information.
I like the cut of your jib, Pep.
And I like the style of your hat, sir. That is an astonishing hat. I love it. It's great. Must drive convertibles, right? Have to drive.
What other questions do you have, Lonnie?
None really. I think the task you've put before us is actually pretty clear. I'm just trying to really wrap my head around the existence of such a person. It seems I feel like the relationship between you and Ella, it would be very easy for her to maybe lie to you, maybe get you off your game or something, but if you feel like it's legit, I mean, we can. I feel like it would be pretty easy for us to certainly get that information. But
Ellis just told me that all the decisions we make get passed up to the King of Carnival and comes back down and tells me if they're good or not. You know who took the Brotherhood of Steel out of the city? Wasn't the council.
Huh. Okay.
But do you see that we serve our Brotherhood of Steel, our friendly engineers of the light here in New Orleans, in my fine establishment? Do you see that, Lonnie Hebe?
I do. I did. And there's a lot to be said about that. So I do believe that we coincidentally have an appointment to check out the Museum of History. And with our Ministry of Education here, who performed the belly dance bit earlier.
Yeah, that'd be me.
I believe that such a purveyor of and seeker of knowledge can't be contained by one measly museum. I think we can there's a way we can try to get into the warehouse.
Now, I think you may have misheard me. The museum is not where this is. There's a warehouse. When we took all the different preservationist icons from Vault 18 into the real world, we could have put them all in the museum.
Right.
We couldn't have all this different stuff. I mean, we've got like stuff from like past presidents.
Oh, I understand, but Hazel is probably the one to be able to get us into special collections, as it were.
Did you say past presidents? Do you mean like Andrew Jackson?
Buck, we got a whole statue of Andrew Jackson riding a horse down in the warehouse.
This is the best hangover I've ever had.
Started off rough, but it's coming off pretty good.
The problem here is you don't get an appointment to go into the warehouse because you all aren't preservationists. It's not what you all are. You're not part of that group. So you're gonna have to you're gonna have to break it in a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, get in there and get that manifest and avoid anybody seeing you or knowing you're there, because, you know, I don't think you want to tick off the preservationists, if I'm correct in saying that.
You are correct.
Fair assumption.
Excellent. So, do we strike an accord on this?
I believe we can see what we can do.
Before we say yes, are there any supplies you could provide us with to help us on this expedition?
That's a fantastic question that you asked, Mr. Buck. Now, tell me, everybody calls you Buck here. Why do they call you Buck?
It's my it's a family heirloom. My last name's Roosevelt, much like Teddy Roosevelt. But they went with Buck instead of Teddy, you know?
See, I have a theory. You got a big old bullseye drawn on the back of you. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, that's the symbol of shame I'm forced to wear until I can clear my name of being a filthy communist. I have to wear their symbol for all time.
That's quite a strange thing. Why don't you, they don't see you. You're the only one out here. Why don't you just take it off?
They told me they would check. But also,
how are they going to check?
I don't know. They said they would. But also, I need to prove it. I need to prove it not only to them, but to myself.
You need to prove to yourself that you're not a con.
Yep.
I don't know if it works that way, man.
Hazel, just
listen. You have your way, Hazel. I have mine.
It was Ella, I think, that maybe gave you his name. And I think it was Marty Bouffant. Actually, I know it was Marty Bouffant. I don't know what I'm saying. I know it was Marty Bouffant because it's in the notes. And so that is his name. It was Marty Bouffant. But to answer Buck's question after... Thank you for that little detour. I've got a friend that is going to help you get into the back door of the warehouse. It's a little bit of a journey getting there. But essentially, Jorma's down at the end of the street. He's got his fan boat, and he's going to drive you right up to the back.
So transportation—that's what you're offering us. Transportation to the place.
Yeah, okay. Because if they saw you going in there just on your own in the street, what do you think they'd do?
Politely give us directions to go someplace else?
No, they're going to shoot you with their big old bonus.
What are they going to shoot us with, sir? Sorry, I missed it.
So at this point, he taps his can in the ground and says, "Well, I think that is I think that's about it for me here. I'm gonna go back to it. That's about all I can provide. So if you would please kindly see Jorma at the end of the dock and bring me back my papers, and I'll get you some particularly useful information that you." Will need getting into that vault. And he gets up and rallies his pinstripe suit clad of ghouls and walks into a doorway behind the bar and disappears.
Okay, guys, I gotta know, what's a Wizard of Oz?
It's a book.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you the story later. Okay.
Also, I really wish Clark was here.
So do I.
Yeah. So I wonder if we gotta do this tonight or if we got time to check other stuff.
Sounds like
I think it'd be better for all of us to take a break, to not do this while we're disastrously hungover.
So okay. I agree. I think that if we went right now in the state we're in, we'd be doomed to fail. I think we need some sort of rest, and we need to hydrate, preferably some birch bark or some sort of painkiller might be useful. Yep. And none of you ever let me drink that much again, please.
I will do my best, Hazel.
Yep.
Thank you.
So, out of character, what's the visitor policy like at the Brotherhood of Steel encampment?
Normally, it's fairly good.
Okay.
This is this is also not normal times, so.
Gotcha. If I could, so back in character, if I could make a recommendation, I was told to report back to the Brotherhood of Steel at my earliest convenience. It was not convenient at the time they asked me, having gone on an empty stomach and drank liquor and having my life endangered multiple times. So it might be a little more convenient now, and we might be able to find you a safe place to sleep there. So if you would like to join me.
I absolutely, I can't say no. It's either that or sleep right here.
I heard a place to stay, so I'm in.
Cool.
Should we tell Fanboat Guy that we're not going right now? Because it sounded, the Top Hat Man made it sound like he expected us to go right now.
He also expects us to succeed. If we're going to succeed, time to recharge. He will appreciate that.
Yep. So
I really, really wish somebody who was better at bargaining than me was here. Damn it.
At this point, a door opens from behind the stage and says, "Wow, you guys were quite something." I'm not
again.
I mean, the owner came out to congratulate you or something. I'm not quite sure, but what's our next gig? Where are we going to? What are we doing now?
Anywhere away from you.
How about we catch you later, man? Like maybe tomorrow. We need some downtime. I assume in the last 24 hours, sleep was not included in our plan, so it is now.
My hotel room, you guys can go to if you're feeling up for it. I've got like a whole like penthouse like rented out down there at the Red Main in downtown New Orleans. I mean, if y'all are looking for a place to go, I mean, I was here for my whole band, but then they all got they fell in a river somewhere. And had the whole place ready, so if you all need to stay there with me, you can. Happy to do it.
Okay. That sounds like a very generous...
I go, guys, sure? Gather around.
Right. Huddle up. Hold on. Band meeting.
Huddle up.
He kind of tries to join the huddle.
Not you, like, Snick. Not you, Snick. Like,
Snick, please, yeah. Band only.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We are going to have to get the band back together at some point.
I don't like him, but I do like sleep.
Yes, I concur.
I hate to say it, but he seems actually kind of trustworthy.
Well, let's, it's nighttime. Let's catch eight and go to the Brotherhood in the morning. I mean, the main paladin's not going to be up this late at night, I wouldn't think.
At the very least, we can raid this guy's minibar.
No.
I don't know if I want to.
We're not doing that.
What, they're communists. They're not going to care anyways. It's free for everyone, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Yeah, of course.
I think you're overlooking the point of the last 24 hours. Suffering we're feeling now.
So let's take advantage of the rest, I think. Snick?
Oh, is your little meeting over? Listen, I feel pretty bad that I'm not included in this band situation. I want you to know I'm here for all of you. I can do, you know, I want to be your friends. I want to be here and making the decisions right with the group. You know, we're, you know, Jolly Pirate and the Five Horn Dogs. I mean, that's a forever deal. I mean, we shook on that.
Wait, Snick, are you the Jolly Pirate in this scenario then?
Well, yeah, I'm Jolly Pirate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So you can be, if you Jolly Pirate, that's fine, but could we possibly discuss a slight branding change for the rest of
after we sleep?
I think that sounds fantastic. You know, we came up with that name. Apparently y'all were a little too much of that good juice from New Orleans, and so I'm comfortable if you want to come up with a new name for the band. I just need to make sure that I have the right promotional materials so that when I fill out my press kit for most of these gigs that we can be able to get, you know, show space after 5 o'clock for most of these bars. Yeah. He's kind of like rattling off in his head, all that stuff.
It's like bed.
And he says, all right, I hear you, Lonnie. Let's go on. I'll take you to my hotel room.
Cool.
So Snick walks out of the bar. Do you all follow Snick? I'm assuming yes.
Yeah.
He sees this fan boat at the end, and he says, "Did you all need to talk to some fan boat guy for a minute?"
Yeah, I'll volunteer. I'll talk to the fan boat man, one driver to another.
Thank you, Pep. Yeah.
I can go with you if you want me to. I mean, I'm a really great talker. Everybody really, you know, as far as like making deals and running steals, that's me, you know.
All right, you can come with me, Snick.
excellent. Yeah, heck yeah, man. At the end of the flooded street, there's kind of this asphalt has come short and there's water there, and you see a boat with a huge fan in the back. And there's a super mutant that's wearing a trilby hat and a Hawaiian print shirt with swim trunks and sandals.
Love it.
The mutant is sitting against the fan that he has turned up on and is yelling various words into the fan, and they sound pretty choppy. The boat is painted blue and white with various stripe patterns, and you hear a sputtering whoosh come through the mutant's mouth. And then you hear a stifled, and the mutant does not notice the group.
Like, I'm going to politely tap the super mutant on the arm.
The super mutant turns around and says, "Oh, who are you? Who are you?"
I'm representing the group that you're supposed to take on a little trip that the boss told you to take us on to us.
Yeah, you'll get in fan boat. You'll get in fan boat.
But we're not going to do that yet. It's a beautiful fan boat, by the way. What a great engine you got there. We're not going yet. We're going to go tomorrow. Okay? Will you be here tomorrow?
Where are you going now? Where are you going now?
Snick, where are we going?
Oh, I mean, we're going to, I mean, the hotel is, I mean, it's quite a walk. I mean, we did a whole like 24-hour bender trying to get, you know, from where I was down to where we are now. You guys think that maybe we could convince them to take the boat to the hotel? You think that might be a, I mean, you know, I'm just an enterprising individual here coming up with a lot of press kits. I mean, I'm not doing this big, you know, big thinking here about, you think that might be something we could do?
No, Snick. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea. Fanboat driver, super mutant man. I'm sure you've got your orders, but we're not going there yet. We're going tomorrow. We're going to sleep first. Go sleep. We're going to sleep and then go. Okay?
He says, "Where do I meet you?"
At the what's the name of the hotel? Snick, what's the hotel?
It's the Hotel Red Bean. I mean, it's down there right on the dock. I mean, you know, you could take a boat there if you really.
Snick, we're not taking the boat. Okay, we're gonna walk it. I got a bad feeling.
By the way, right now Hazel is absolutely entranced by the fan. Like, it is amazing. It's the coolest thing she's seen since, you know, Neon. Wow. Always wanted to ride on a fan boat.
Hazel, we're going to ride on one tomorrow. Tomorrow, okay?
At this point, Snick gets into the fan boat and kind of buckles in and says, come on, Pap. Pap, let's just get on the fan boat. Yeah, I mean, I know. Look at this. I mean, you love. Yeah, you know, we talked about cars. You said gas them up every time you had a beer. You said vroom, vroom when we were riding the bikes. I know you want to ride the fan boat.
God, it's like a V4 engine on a boat. It's wonderful.
Lonnie can't hear a word of this, but he can see that there's conversation and Snick's gotten in and buckled up. And it was right, like,
and Hazel is very enthusiastic.
It's like, also, Hazel, Buck, it looks like we're taking the boat maybe to the hotel or something. Let's...
Are Lonnie and Buck approaching now?
We might. My dogs are killing me.
Oh, God. Oh.
Your horn dogs are killing you.
Mr. Boatman, if we get into this boat, where are you going to take us?
The boatman looks at you and kind of says, wherever you need to go, wherever you need to go, we're going to go.
Okay. All right. All right, Pep steps onto the fan boat.
Oh, there he goes. Big Pep boy coming here. Pep boys or less, get on in here. Hey, Mr. Bolt Driver, why don't you let him do the vroom vroom? And I know, does this thing run on gas? Because I think he wants to do his little catchphrase he says all the time. Give him a few drinks, he'll say it some more. And he kind of laughs to himself.
Snick.
I lean over to Hazel and I'm just like, where can we hide the body?
Well, there's lots of water around here. All we have to do is make sure we weigh it down and then make sure we puncture like the lungs and the stomach so that when it starts to inflate during a decomposition, it doesn't float.
All right, everyone on the boat. Let's get on the boat. We're gonna take the boat. Got a bad feeling about this.
I got a good feeling about this.
So you all get on the boat and buckle up. You put your little seatbelts on and the super mutant says, all right, everybody good? We're good to go?
Yes, we're going to the hotel.
Yeah.
To the hotel, sir.
To the hotel. And he kind of kicks up the fan and the boat takes off. And you're kind of like, it juts off towards the shore and you kind of can see the city of New Orleans in the background. It's kind of, you're out of ways enough so that, you know, you're not right up on the shore, not causing a lot of waves. I think for most of you, this is the first time that you've, outside of Lonnie, that you've been able to see New Orleans in kind of splendor. You can see from where you are, the city, the downtown that you were at, the Marigny, the French Quarter, the main downtown. You see the Superdome behind that. You see the power plant across the river where you've heard rumor that the Brotherhood of Steel is at. And Snick says, is kind of looking around, he says, wow, this view is great. I mean, you can't get a better view out here. And Pep didn't want to ride the fan boat out here. I mean, come on, Pep. Look at this thing. Isn't it just the best?
Nick, are we going toward the hotel?
I mean, it's downtown. We're headed downstream. I mean, I said, you know, Hotel Redmayne. And so I'm sure that our super mutant driver, I don't know. I guess he's gonna take us there, right? He said he'd take us wherever we need to go.
Okay, Snick.
As you peruse, does anybody strike as you're like going downtown? What does anybody say anything, or is everybody just kind of marveling at the city?
I mean, I'm probably experiencing motion sickness, so I'm just gonna keep my head down.
Yeah, depending on who I'm sitting next to, my head might be nodding off that direction as I try to fight sleep, and then, like, every now and then I'll jerk my head up, and then just, like, it'll fight this way.
There's three benches, and so Snick is at the front bench, and there's two benches behind them that can comfortably seat about four people. The super mutant is standing on the back that kind of has, like, a chair up, like, up against the fan that's kind of driving it. So where are you? Are you all sitting with Snick? Are you all like buddy buddy with him, just all on one bench together? Or, you know, where's everybody sitting?
No, Hazel is sitting with him. Hazel is sitting with him, and she's feeling better. This is the best she's felt since she took that first drink, because wind blowing through her hair and blowing her face is keeping her awake and helping her be a little bit more, feeling a little bit more balanced, a little bit healthier than she has for the last couple of
I'm
hours.
Sitting directly behind Hazel, otherwise the whisper I did earlier wouldn't make sense.
At this point, Snick is kind of looking around. He says, does anybody know any, you know, and big, you know, big car rides like this, I like to do songs. Does anybody know any songs we can sing? I know Lonnie, you do a good Sweet Chariot, and I'm pretty sure I heard a good Hot Cross Buns from you earlier. You got any good songs for the group?
I lean into my Pip-Boy and I just whisper, met a communist. Demon. Only a demon of communism could torture me this much when I'm this one over.
Your Pip-Boy lights up red and says,
all communists must die.
You got that right. And I just smack the Pip-Boy on the table to like shut it off on the cross, the safety bars.
Oh. Back at it, like still fighting off Slate.
At this point, Snick is like, well, I know of a great song that we can all sing. Do y'all know the one about the mountain and the place that she goes around? You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
She'll be coming around the mountain and she comes. And he is seeing that. At this point, the fan boat is moving closer as... the Snick is singing his song. Everyone's kind of nodding off to sleep. There's a grating kind of over the side as you pass by, kind of a sewer channel where a bunch of pipes are coming out of. And there's a big drain pipe that's probably this rather large size. And all of a sudden, a big flush comes out of the drain pipe as a bedraggled, awful looking Clark pushes out from the drain pipe and lands Clark. In the water. The pipe continues to move and you feel kind of a rumble and you see green claws grab the side of the drain pipe as this creature pokes its head out. It's kind of green, scaly, and has a big head and a really long snout with vicious teeth, is incredibly muscular, and launches itself from the pipe at the boat and manages to bite the side of the boat in one fell swoop. And in that same fell swoop, where Snick was sitting, his right leg gets consumed by the gator claw.
Well, at least something good happened on this boat, right?
Hey, it's Clark.
Hey, look, we found Clark. We got the band back together.
Will the crew finally get some rest, or will the gator claw leave them sleeping with the fishes? Find out next time on Rad Rolls.